Welcome to the Hollywood Outsider, an award-winning weekly entertainment podcast. In this episode, we're discussing, do demonic possession movies still work today? And also, we have reviews of Amber Heard's new film, In the Fire, as well as we're going to talk about Totally Killer and a lot more. Let's get on with the show. My name is Aaron Peterson. Joining me today, my fellow host, John Davenport.
Sup, bro?
Amanda Sink.
Hello, hello.
Please immediately, John, tell people that you're not going to talk like that through the whole podcast because I don't really want to lose more listeners.
Okay.
We have eight, and that probably hurts his feelings.
Stop it.
I only have one left, and it's hanging on by a thread.
Well, it's gone now. He just snipped that.
He's been doing that all night.
Maybe you're just sensitive. You ever think of that?
Well, I mean, my breasts are really sore today.
Not that John needs a woman to defend him, but maybe you're just not sensitive enough.
As a man, I need a woman to defend me most of the time.
I'm here for you, John.
I appreciate it.
Why do I have to be more sensitive?
Because you're probably not sensitive enough. I think we've had this argument a couple times before.
When does it become the point where I'm exactly sensitive enough and other people are too sensitive? Like, who determines this line?
Perspective. Yeah.
Yeah, that's my perspective is stop being whiny.
You're saying to be less sensitive. So how are you any more justified in your argument than me saying for you to be more sensitive?
Okay, well, this is not a really fun conversation for a movie podcast, guys.
Well, no, we can make a movie about it. All right. Thin skin.
Thin skin. Stop.
I was cursed by a gypsy. Thinner skin.
Yes, exactly. Come on, tough it out. It's okay. Walk it off. Isn't that the expression? Come on, walk it off. It's okay. No, are we not allowed to do walk it off anymore? Son of a bitch.
I think it's very frowned upon.
It is.
You know, I tried to, when I tore my Achilles tendon, I tried to walk it off, and guess what? Ripped the other tendon. So not a great thing.
Did you really?
Yeah, that's how I tore it, because I kept running.
Speaking about being too sensitive, Jesus.
Yeah, my feet are apparently too sensitive for sure.
Also, you just want to be like your hero, A-Rod, or whatever his name is. Aaron Rodgers
is never.
He's not his hero anymore.
He was never my hero. I'm a Brett Favre guy. I don't personally do not approve of anything he does. Loved him as a footballer. Please make sure you know I don't know why Brett Favre is the way he is. I just like watching the guy play football.
He made the hand signal like he was making a pass. I just need everybody to know that. Like, he's a quarterback. He's like, yeah.
And that's how I throw very quickly with my hand forward and back.
He's like, I like the man when he throws the ball. Throws the ball to the big H.
All right, well, let's talk about some movie and TV news. And I can't wait to talk about demonic possession, because that's a genre that, man, I mean, they paid $400 million for the rights to The Exorcist, and I just don't know why. I just don't see the value in that one. We'll get there. All right. So the Wall Street Journal came out with a scuttlebutt that Netflix will be raising their rates yet again after all the strikes end. And Disney Plus is even getting more serious about cracking down on password sharing soon. So once again, prices are going up. It's coming, and they're going to limit how many people can share an account. So is it time to start making the hard choices on which streaming services are worth keeping? Amanda, what do you think?
Well, see, what you guys need is a method, and that method includes having a small inner circle of people. You pay for one, you pay for one, you pay for one, and somehow we figure out how to block them from knowing that we're in different households. I think they have that thing that you can do that with, Aaron.
Yeah, it's called a VPN.
Mm-hmm. Yep, that VPN thing, and you trick it, and you say, we're actually all in the same place. So I don't have price raises. How about you?
Okay. Well, that's not practical for most people that can't, right. You know, VPNs can be complicated. So, you know, if you have to make decisions because people are, you know, financially, let's face it, it's inflation has really hurt a lot of people.
Yep. The dollar's weak.
Yeah. So raising prices, cracking down on passwords. I just feel like people love to complain about corporations. This feels like something they should complain about because this is what has made streaming appealing. I love that Netflix cracked down on passwords when they're the sons of bitches that put out the tweet that said, hey, share it. We're good with it. Until they weren't.
I'm getting to a point where I'm going to have to start making some really hard decisions here. Not because I'm hurting financially in any way, shape, or form. I just can't justify this shit anymore. I was a proud holder of almost every single one of these services, but I have Hulu. I haven't switched on Hulu in months. I have Disney Plus. I only put Disney Plus on for Ahsoka. I have Paramount, which, okay, that one doesn't really cost me too much money. Prime, okay, great. Netflix, fantastic. Max is my favorite lately. I don't know. It's like it doesn't seem worth it to keep all these different services. And on top of all these things, what makes me the most annoyed is that I'm going to happily keep my Apple service, where as much as I hate Apple, I'm going to happily keep that one because like $8 and it's got a lot of the best genre shit out there that you can watch.
What I don't like is the nickel and diming that's happening now.
Because it's ridiculous.
Now, you know, we're already paying $15 at $12, whatever the number is. I think Troy actually wrote down some of the pricing on his notes because he was going to be here for this episode and he couldn't make it. But the fact that we now will be getting an additional fee, an ancillary fee of, you know, like Prime is going to charge $3 more for ad free. That's nickel and diming, man. I'm not stupid. Mm-hmm. Now, I don't mind Prime saying that because Prime honestly is the best deal out there. Let's face it. You get free shipping and I get some content, which includes Reacher and Jack Ryan, and I'm good with that. Mm-hmm. But on the same token, the other ones do that, I'm suddenly going to be cutting services. I already, and it's funny, everybody has their own preferred. Hulu, I watch all the time because it has Modern Family and Schitt's Creek, and I like watching those. Like, that's a kind of bedtime TV. Yeah, it puts me to sleep. It has Psych too. No, Psych is on Prime, sorry. But, you know, I love Max, but I don't watch it that often. Disney Plus, I never watch. It's just the most under, you know, so everybody has their preferences. And I feel like it's getting close. They keep adding, I'm going to start cutting. If you take away, because some of those are share, I don't actually pay for them. But if you say I got to pay for them, I'm not. I won't do it.
Yeah, if I have to pay for them all, the short of it is I'll probably keep Netflix and that might be it. I might sign up for Hulu because I don't currently pay for that one, hypothetically speaking. So those are probably the two that I'm more inclined to keep, but I agree. I like Max, but I also went without it for a couple months and didn't even realize that I forgot to update my new card. So I don't think I basically renewed it so that way my family can use it. Like somebody texted me and asked me for the login and I was like, I forgot to renew it with the new updated info. Sorry, my bad.
I do like Paramount Plus. They actually have some content, quite a bit of content that I enjoy on there, which is funny because I don't watch Yellowstone, but I love all the Yellowstone spinoff shows. I can't say that enough. I really love all the Taylor Sheridan stuff that's not Yellowstone proper.
You know, the thing that I feel like is an insult is, okay, you're paying $12.50 for Hulu, right? And then you're going to pay $12.50 for Disney. Why do I have to pay $12.50 for both?
Well, they've got bundles.
To the same company, though. They've got bundles. It's the principle.
Get a bundle.
It's the principle, though. It's like, why are they the same? Like, at least freaking Max was nice enough to be like, all right, well, now that Discovery is coming in here, we're going to make it all the same place where you can go to one place and get all the stuff.
Without having to make you get something different, right?
Right. At least Max did that, which if Disney did something like that with Hulu and Disney Plus, then I would be more on board with the idea. How am I, they're going to nickel and dime me out of my money when it's the same company.
It's pretty interesting. Everybody keep an eye. I know everybody's trying to cut costs and whatnot. Just know that there are some changes coming and they don't always tell you very well. You might get that one email that goes to your spam folder and you never really find out. So keep an eye on your credit card statements so you know when the prices go up so you can make those hard decisions. One thing that is not a hard decision is if you want to buy Mission Impossible, because you do. Because Mission Impossible Dead Reckoning Part 1 is on digital today and it's a fantastic movie. One of the best movies of the year. I would totally go on board with. Tom Cruise is crushing it yet again, and he stars in this film that the critics are calling the biggest and best action movie of the year, and I'm one of them. And I raved about it as well. So by Mission Impossible, Dead Reckoning Part 1 on digital today. You can go behind the scenes with incredible bonus content. It's available at all participating retailers, rated PG-13 from Paramount Pictures. This movie rocked. It was fantastic. Please, please, please check it out.
Nice segue. That
Thank you. Good. You like that? Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was really well done. Did you like rehearse it?
No. Mm-mm.
That nope. was all from the hip?
That was all from the hip. God. You know what else?
Whatever's left of it.
Wow. It is old and wobbly. A little wobbly.
Damn.
Also, giving away a couple digital codes. Mission Impossible Dead Reckoning Part 1.
What?
So if you're interested, coming close. Contest at the HollywoodOutsider.com. don't tell anyone. Contest at the HollywoodOutsider.com. Here's what you got to do to win. Share this episode with your friends. Okay. And then send me an email. Contest at the HollywoodOutsider.com. Subject line, I'm a maverick. That's right. And then with your name. And that'll be good enough. I'll take you at your word that you shared the show. But do it.
Isn't that from a different movie franchise?
It is.
It is.
Okay.
But see, that's how
I just want to make sure you know that.
That's how I know they listen.
Oh, I see. I see. I see. You're tripping.
What I'm saying? Yeah. You put Mission Impossible in the subject line. Somebody gave you the email address. That you had to have heard mm-hmm. the podcast to know.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah, that's fair.
I'm thinking. And also,
the more entries you give us, the bigger the prize.
You can also say I'm on the hunt. You can say I'm on the hunt if you want. That's fine.
I'm on the hunt.
They have options.
I'm on the Ethan hunt.
No, I'm on the Ethan hunt. That's not clever. I don't want that.
What? His name's Ethan Hunt.
I know, but I'm just on the hunt. His name is Ethan Hunt. I already connected that dot. You're throwing in dots that didn't need to be connected.
Oh, that did happen. That did happen.
It's too much. You're doing a Troy.
That's a John thing.
Troy thing. That was a Troy thing. Totally Troy.
It was totally Troy.
I wish he was here so people understood what we were thinking of. Love you, Troy. All right, so we're going to move on to some spoiler-free reviews. And the first one up is In the Fire, and that is Amber Heard's first movie since the public situation.
So a doctor from New York travels to a remote plantation in the 1890s to care for a disturbed boy who seems to have inexplicable abilities. She begins treating the child, but in doing so, ignites a war between science and religion as the local priest believes the boy is possessed by the devil and the cause of the village's woes. This one, as you mentioned, Aaron, stars Amber Heard. It is in theaters, on demand, and on digital October 13th, 2023. The elephant in the room, we should probably just get this out of the way. So taking away any personal feelings around Amber Heard, how is she as our lead?
Well, I don't really, when I'm watching a movie, I don't really have personal feelings. I'm just trying to watch the movie. And this isn't one of those situations. You know, we did an episode a couple episodes ago where we talked about, can you separate the art from the artist, which I thought was a great episode. Mm-hmm. I hope more people find it if you haven't heard it already. And I got to say, like, that whole situation isn't one where I'm going to carry a whole lot of baggage with me, because I think in that situation, we've all gone through breakups. There's always some blame to go around to everyone, as far as I'm concerned. It's never just one person. So, and you know, bad breakups, I don't know if that really warrants having someone's career ruined. Either way, on either side of that coin. That said, I've never been a huge fan of Amber Heard as an actress, just because, I mean, usually a lot of what she was doing was that sexy stuff, right? She's just sexy femme fatale or sexy friend, those kinds of things, or, you know, more focused on her sex appeal more focused on the sex appeal than the acting ability or the performance. And I think she's trying to expand and show that she is an actress in this. She's trying to demonstrate that there's more to her than just what she looks like, that she definitely has some potential for better quality work. And I agree. I think she actually does.
Potential for better quality work.
She's got a lot of, you know.
I know. It's just the way you phrased it. Sorry. Like, you're not even saying she has some good work. You're saying she has the potential to be okay.
A lot of what she's done, I haven't been a fan of. I'm not gonna lie to you, but I think she's very good in this. Yeah. I think her character of Grace is very, I think her name's a little on the nose. She didn't write it. But her character, she's an alienist, a.k.a. psychiatrist. She's trying to understand what is going on with this boy, and is it really the fact that we're in the 1890s? It's a very, you know, century and a half ago. Like at that point, people didn't understand how psychology works. And that's how the whole, there's an intro from her, a very brief monologue where she explains how psychology was seen and kind of going through how people didn't understand the concept of this. And to many degrees, they still don't fully comprehend it today, right? So back then, you can totally see how someone who had autism or seemed to be on the spectrum or seemed to have some mental illness of some sort might be seen as possessed by the devil because they don't understand this child. He's not acting like everybody else. And that's what a lot of it is. Martine is this child that has had a lot of tragedy around him, but is it because he's possessed by the devil like many people feel, or does he have psychological issues, or does he have a mental illness, or does he have some kind of disability that just hasn't been talked about yet? Is he on the spectrum? Whatever it is. And that's what the film is trying to discover. And I think Amber Heard does a very good job of portraying the fury that comes with, you have to listen to science. You can't just sit here and believe everything is based on, you know, one book. It can't all come from that. A lot of these things can be explained through science if you're just willing to listen. And she also has to deal with people that refuse to listen to her. And what I like most about her performance is the film does not, and it's written by Connor Allen, Pascal Bourneau, and Silvio Maraglia. I hope I said that right. I'm sorry. But they really take the story to show a full picture of what it would be like in her situation, because obviously she's also a woman in the 1890s. It's just she's a doctor who's a woman in a time when that just wasn't a thing. So it's very hard for people to take her seriously. So she has a much harder time, much more difficult time trying to convey how she feels this boy should be looked at. And I think she does a very strong job. I was very impressed with her performance. It really kind of elevated the film as it went on. And especially the second half, you know, she becomes very vulnerable in many respects because you expect her to just be stoic and hard-lined because she is very much stuck in her stance about it. This is science, this is science. But she becomes more vulnerable and kind of opens up about her own feelings in this particular world. And it's, I think she really, really elevates the film. It makes it a very enjoyable film.
So this concept from writer-director Connor Allen, who directed No Man's Land, is really intriguing to me because of just the whole core of it, and especially thinking to that time of how would you differentiate that from religion or from possession if you don't know of any other possibility? You know what I mean?
Sure.
It seems far-fetched. So, but one thing that I always find even more intriguing is how a writer and director will toe and balance the line between their own personal biases. So how does Connor Allen balance between religion and science? Where does it lean too far into one or the other and you can tell someone's personal opinion is written into it? Or do you get an even balance of perspective to help you see where these characters are coming from?
I feel like it's written in such a way. Look, I've seen a billion movies and it feels like, and I've definitely seen the story before, like not necessarily in this particular setup, but the idea, right? Religion versus science, basically what the backdrop is. I think he does a very good job of playing even where you can see both lines up until the end when you finally know like the full scope of everything. And I feel like it plays fair. And it may not go exactly how you think it's going to go. And that was interesting to me. I really felt like, okay, I think it's going to go this way, but I'm not sure. And usually I'm pretty confident in films if they're too predictable. And I wasn't very confident in this one. I could go either way, honestly, which is good.
Ooh, I
think
like
it's
that.
strong writing because you can see kind of either way. And they do really paint it from both people's perspectives. Like you understand, you know, there's famine in this valley. There's locusts in this valley. There's definitely a heavy religious undertone everywhere they go and or overtone, whichever way you want to look at it. It's very thick. So they're not open to science. But Martine's father is, you know, he lost his wife. He has some blame that he puts at the feet of Martine, and he doesn't really know if that's fair. And she kind of gets him to open up as well. So there's a lot going on. there's a lot going on. I think it's well written, and it really was an enjoyable film. And I'll be perfectly honest, I was a little hesitant. I wanted to review it because I felt like there's a lot of critics that aren't going to be fair to this just because of who stars in it. And I didn't think that that was the right way to do it. As critics, we should be challenged, and we should watch things that challenge us. And this is something that I watched. I thoroughly enjoyed. I really was never bored. I was really intrigued by where it was going.
So if the full price of admission were $10, what would you give In the Fire?
I give it $6.50. I thoroughly enjoyable. All right. Really like how it went. And, you know, good for Amber Heard. She's trying to rebuild her own legacy.
Awesome.
All right. Now we're going to move on to a movie that is already out called Totally Killer. Now, John, you and I both saw this.
Yes.
And this stars your friend from Sabrina, right? Wasn't that what she was in? I didn't watch that show, but Kiernan Shipka, that was Sabrina, was it not?
That was Sabrina, yes. She was also in Mad Men. She was Don Draper's daughter in Mad Men.
I did not like that show. Yeah, I said it. Olivia Holt is also in this film, and I love Olivia Holt. She was in Cruel Summer, so she's just somebody that I really enjoy. Very talented actresses across the board. And what this is, oh my God, when the infamous Sweet 16 killer returns 35 years after his first murder spree to claim another victim, 17-year-old Jamie accidentally travels back in time to 1987, determined to stop the killer before he can start. Immediately, you know that there's going to be connections to Back to the Future. Every time there's time travel, we have to mention Back to the Future. Of course, that's here.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Nanochka Khan is the director here. And in terms of this film, it reminds me a lot in tone to The Final Girls. Would you agree with me on this?
Yes, it reminds me a lot in tone of The Final Girls. Also, Happy Death Day, as well as Freaky. It's all in the same kind of tone as those movies.
Right, so if you like those, you would like this.
Right, absolutely. It's a lot of fun. It doesn't take itself seriously. It knows what it's doing.
And what the big, big plot point is that something happens tragically to Jamie's mother, and she has to figure out a way to stop this murder before this becomes the reality. And so she ends up going to bat with the killer, with her own mother, who turns out to be not the person she thought she was. And her actual mother in the modern day is Julie Bowen. Love her. Love her. Love her.
Love her. She's great.
Yep. So, you know, from Modern Family, if you don't know Claire from Modern Family. So in terms of the whole concept, when you're talking about time travel and it's going back to try to stop a murder so it doesn't happen in the present day, and you know it's going to get complicated, blah, 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 do you think the film holds the story together, or does it become too ridiculous for you?
I think the film holds it together much in the same way as some other time travel movies have done it. In pretty much saying, whatever rules you think you know about time travel, they're probably wrong anyways, so we're just going to ignore those. And it kind of does its own thing, and it creates its own little world within there, and it holds pretty fast to that. What about you? You think that's about right?
Yeah, I mean, I think they realize that time travel, as wonky as it is, I do like the description how time travel is like a river. I'm sure I've heard it somewhere before, but I couldn't think of anywhere, so I like this one. And basically the description is time travel is like a river. You know, if you jump in one end and you get out and you get back in, you know, it's time keeps moving. You're just, if you jump back in, you're jumping in a different spot, but the time keeps moving. So it's going to affect things differently, and you won't vanish. It won't be like Marty McFly where you disappear. You know, you'll just be without the family you thought you'd be because you're already here, you know? And I like that idea because the Marty McFly thing always bugged me. I'm like, that's just dumb. You're just going to sit there and like disappear. That's stupid. What a stupid way to handle that. But the movie is fantastic. I'm not knocking Back to the Future. Just that one aspect. Also, don't think white people invented that music. I don't know. So there's some problems. I'm just saying. But overall, yeah, I thoroughly enjoyed it. I thought Totally Killer was a lot of fun. It's on Prime Video if you didn't know that, by the way. What'd you think in terms of the performances? I know you're going to probably rave about Kiernan Shipka. I thought Olivia Holt was wonderful as Pam Miller, her mother, younger mother. And Cruel Summer is a show I just really was surprised by. That was just a show I found to be very fun. And she was in that show. And I just find her to be a very talented actress who can play a lot of different parts. Like in this movie, she's basically kind of a raging wench. And then you see that she has a lot more to her than that.
Oh, yeah. I thought that was adorable, the way they added those bits and pieces about who she was. And even to the point where we as viewers kind of fall into that, and then we're all proven wrong at the same time. So it's that, I thought that was great. So Olivia Holt was a lot of fun. Kiernan was great. And the things that I liked that she was doing a lot was a lot of the whole, you know, there's these great moments where she's like, wow, the 80s were wild. And, you know, as people, you and I, Aaron, who grew up in the 80s, we're like, yeah, that was it was a different kind of time, you know?
That was the one thing where I was probably the first 15 minutes of this, I was not sold, because I feel like I've seen all these jokes before. Mm-hmm. Like every joke you're telling me, I've already seen this joke. I've already heard of this joke. It's already been presented. Oh, look, they're wearing the crazy 80s jogging. So, like, I feel like that's been done to death.
Right.
But then it really starts to find its footing about 20, 25 minutes in, and then it really becomes very interesting.
Yeah. Oh, wow, you're just going to leave.
Yeah. The performances are pretty strong. I do think Kiernan Shipka is an adequate lead. She didn't blow me away. I wasn't, you know, taken aback by her. She's not like Malin Ackerman in Final Girls or anything, or Happy Death Day, that lead. I thought she was much more easy to follow, easy to enjoy. Like, she just really, really sucked you into the film. And I don't think that Jamie does that. I feel like she's more driving the vehicle than wanting me to get in the car, if that makes any sense.
Right. Now, you're definitely watching her story where she's not taking you on a trip. She is taking you on a trip, but at the same time, you're seeing her spin on absolutely everything.
Right.
You know what? The thing that I thought was great about this was that I actually did not get the right person as the killer in this. And I was completely floored when they did the reveal, and I'm like, oh, wow, that's not what I expected.
Mm. I watched it with a group of people and nailed it, just so you know. So, boom. Nailed it. Exactly who it was.
I'm not going to say much more than that.
Yeah, you can't say much more than that, because it's funny. But just know, when you watch it now, I was right and John was wrong. That's the most important aspect.
That's okay, because John is completely fine with being wrong. It's not going to hurt my feelings or anything else like that. No.
That's good.
But you know what? The thing I really enjoyed when I was loading this up and I was watching the opening credits is this is a Blumhouse movie. So it's, you know, it doesn't have the Blumhouse opening, but it's Blumhouse Television, BH Television, that produced this, and Jason Blum.
Does that make it more appealing to you?
It does, because it goes back to the whole idea that Blumhouse has just, over the years, since it's become more and more of a thing, they produce quality horror, quality movies at a budget that really works for them. And I do appreciate that aspect, but I can't remember a Blumhouse movie that I didn't enjoy.
All right, then. Well, $10 full price permission. What do you give Totally Killer? On Prime Video now, you can watch it now.
I'm going to give it $7.
All right. I give it $5.50. That's not a bad score. I enjoy it. It's nothing memorable that I will probably rewatch, but it's a good film. It's fun. Especially with a crowd.
Yeah, I could see that being a lot of fun with a crowd.
All right, and we're going to go into our From the Outside In topic, but first, Amanda wants to tell you something.
An important one from Paramount Pictures that we need to tell you about is starring Elena Camporis, Jeremy Piven, and Sean Astin. Vindicta is on digital now. When a city is terrorized by a sadistic serial killer, a seasoned detective and a newly recruited paramedic are forced into a deadly game of vengeance where the key to stopping the bloodshed lies in unlocking the truth of their own haunted pasts. Vindicta you can get from the Microsoft Store. It's rated R and from Paramount Pictures. Go ahead and check this one out. I love Sean Astin, so I know I will be.
Yeah, I just, anything with serial killer backstory. I don't know that it says about me, but I'm in.
Probably something concerning.
That's fair. Hey, speaking of, something cool is also coming out next week, speaking of serial killers. And we're going to tell you more about that after our From the Outside In topic. Okay, From the Outside In. I don't know how long this topic will be. It's just a fascinating topic to me. So The Exorcist Believer, it's lighting up theaters. And that means that it's time to open up the Necronomicon and discuss why are people, even atheists, so fascinated by demonic possession? Or is it even really that exciting to people anymore? Like, that's really a big part of it. So do these films scare you? If so, why or why not, John?
I think it actually depends on the film. It can have an effect on me depending on how they depict it. You know, that right now I'm thinking about the show Evil. Evil does demonic possession in such a way that it fills the gamut where it's could be somebody who's either mentally unstable, or it could be somebody who's legitimately possessed. And it kind of puts you in a position where you can't figure out what it really is. And I like that aspect of movies or shows that show the demonic possession. But when it starts getting a little bit overboard, a la Exorcist, when you got the pea soup flying out, and I never understood that whole thing. I start having problems with my ability to suspend some disbelief. I have a Catholic background. There are times where I see something and I'm like, oh, that looks like it could possibly happen, and I go along with it.
And you say your 8 Hail Marys?
8 Hail Marys, 3 Our Fathers, and I do the stand up, sit down, kneel, stand up, fight, fight, fight.
Yeah, that's just one. Part of the rituals, right. Just making sure your knees bend appropriately.
I feel like that's what you do on the controller to make Contra
right.
Cheat codes pop up.
Yeah, AB, 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 select start.
Yeah, that's what I think you're doing. I don't think
that's kind of what any mass is like that's Catholic.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah.
Man, what about you, man? Do these movies scare you ever?
Hell yes.
Really?
If there is one genre of film that will have me afraid to go to sleep at night, or will have me just unwilling to watch it in the dark at night or while alone, it's a demonic possession movie. I will watch a break-in, like a burglar, strangers type movie that should terrify anybody who's like sitting home alone or something. Mm-hmm. I would much rather watch something like that than a demonic possession movie.
Why?
I don't know what it is. Well, I have like some idea. When I was a little kid, after my great grandma died, and this is going to sound really weird, but I distinctly remember like taking a shower and being like, if ghosts are real, does that mean like everybody in my family who's dead can watch me taking a shower right now? Because that's really weird and uncomfortable. And from that moment on, I know. Tell me about it. From that moment on, I just kept like wondering, what if there's something in my like behind me or next to me and I don't know about it? And that constant like uncertainty created a fear, which then was realized through movies. But it's really ironic because one of my favorite movies when I was a little kid, and I'm talking like a young child, was Poltergeist.
I don't think anybody's possessed in Poltergeist, though, right? Just ghosts. Well, I mean, the TV's possessed. Does that count?
Yeah, I mean, it's all, there's all,
it's in the
there's
same
enough.
Neighborhood.
Yeah, yeah. If you go, if those two go trick-or-treating, they're in the same area, is what John's saying. Yeah.
I like the, I don't like, I mean, it's obviously a fear of yours, but the whole idea of, well, when people die, can they see me shower? I mean, I think everybody's probably felt that at some point, right? But I'm like, you're getting a little terrified of it. I'm sitting there going, I'm just going to prop my leg up. You're going to have to look at it, soak it in, soak in the greatness, you know, things hilarious. Like that. I'm not scared by these in any way, shape or form. The funny part is the Evil Dead terrified me when I was a kid, but not because of the possession. It's how they did the scares. The tree branch scene, that's enough said about that. You know, that was pretty horrifying.
Right.
And I guess, you know, when the girlfriend pops out of the cellar, that was pretty terrifying. But it was more about scary thing in the cellar than it was the possession. I don't believe in it. It's just something I don't personally believe in. And I'm not knocking anyone that does. I know many people of faith. And I'm not saying I'm an atheist. I'm just saying I don't believe in demonic possession. I don't believe in ghosts. That kind of stuff doesn't do anything for me. But that doesn't mean that the movies have never scared me. It's just that demonic possession itself doesn't scare me. My mother's favorite movie is The Exorcist, favorite horror movie. And she wanted me to watch that so bad. Once I finally was old enough, she felt like to handle it. And I had appreciation for horror movies, and I had seen all kinds of horror by that point. And Evil Dead really, really did terrify me. So she's like, oh, The Exorcist is going to scare the crap out of you. I'm like, oh, I can't wait. And all I kept thinking is, this is just a weird movie. Like, they paid some kid to act like that. I don't, you know, with the crucifix and everything. That's just not right. There's so much wrong with this.
Just not right. There's so much wrong with this, he says after watching Evil Dead.
Yeah, right. I'm good with what happened.
The tree branch
was
one thing, but the crucifix, we're drawing a line.
That's just not right at all, man.
Right.
Not cool. So it didn't work for me, but my mother grew up in a very religious family. You know what? Priests, or not priests, but pastors and whatnot. So I understood, like, to her, this is something she felt was very real. I tend to look at things a different way, and I just didn't feel that way. And it didn't terrify me, ever. And I wanted it. I really, really wanted that movie to scare the crap out of me, because my mom loved it so much, and we share such a bond over movies. But I've never been scared by the idea of being possessed. Because to me, and I know I'm blabbering here, but to me, the idea of being scared by something means you have to worry that it could happen to you. It has to be a fear that you have. And I don't have that natural fear. I have a fear of being cut up and a cheese grater going over my face by some crazy maniac, like in the new Evil Dead movie. But I don't have a fear of, you know, my wife getting possessed and, you know, I don't have a fear. I think she might act crazy or something, but it's not going to be possessed just because I did something stupid.
Yeah. That's the thing that always fascinates me about the whole idea of possession is that people are so willing to believe in it because they call it whatever you want to call it, whether they want to believe in that we are inherently good and occasionally something gets in us that makes us evil, or whether it's something in their upbringing from a religious standpoint that makes it easier to believe in the good when you can picture the evil that can come up from the metaphysical evil that comes up from the darkness. You know, I remember a conversation I had with somebody a couple years ago where they were talking about how they were so upset that the devil got into a friend of theirs. And I'm like, what are you talking about? And he tells me the whole story of what their friend did. And I just looked at him and I said, the devil didn't get into your friend. Your friend is just a piece of garbage. You know, and he's like, well, why would you say that about my friend? He's a really good guy. He really did all these things. I'm like, no, now that I know what he did, that's not the devil. That was him this entire time. And that's what I really lean into more, is that people are inherently scarier than anything some demon can put into them at this point, that I that's where I start losing the ability to believe in it anymore.
It's very interesting. I've had discussions with people. Like I said, half my family is very religious and half my family is not. So I have people on both sides that I can have real conversations with about the idea of demonic possession and things like that. And it's amazing to me how many people that are atheists that still have this fear. You know, they believe in something, obviously, if you actually have that tangible fear, right? So it's always fascinating to me. And whenever I have that discussion, you know, I don't think it really pertains so much to your faith and religion in many respects. Like, don't get me wrong, there are people who are very devout and they won't even watch things like this. Like, if there's a possession, they won't watch. They won't watch ghosts because they just feel like they don't want to, I don't know, rock the boat, or
you're inviting it into your
right.
life.
I hear that a lot.
Yeah. And people believe that. But there are many, many people that believe that. And I totally understand. But there are many people that don't believe in it at all, that are still terrified by it. And to me, that means I think you believe in it a little bit. There's like a piece of you that is open to the idea that this could happen, that the demons are out there and they are watching you shower.
Well, it could. Damn it.
Sorry.
It was the last line that got you.
It really was. You know, what I was going to say is that we all, in a way, want to believe in something greater than ourselves. But because we are so accustomed to seeing negative, that it's easier for us to believe that we'd ever see a demonic possession over whatever the good version of that is. You know, over the signs of the stigmata, we would probably see a demonic possession sooner rather than later.
You know, I guess the more I think about it, maybe some of that impact for people that don't believe in religious, they don't have religious leanings or whatever, they're atheists or whatever, they are agnostic. Maybe some of that is more just the concept of your body being controlled by things you can't control. you know, maybe that's more of what it is.
That's possible too.
It's the fear and uncertainty of not knowing, you know, if this were to be possible, you wouldn't know until it happens. You know what I mean? Like, that's the thing that freaks me out about it. Like, it doesn't matter if I believe that it's plausible or not. I'm a very agnostic person. And so I don't disbelieve, but I don't believe, if that makes sense. Like, I'm willing to keep an open mind, but more than likely I'm like, nah, I don't really see it in the traditional sense. Mm-hmm. But I also believe that, you know, I would be naive to think that it's just us and this world or this universe or anything like that. So
what? No,
I know.
Just
I
us. Know it's, just us right here. There's nobody else outside of this room.
Nobody but us three.
Yeah, that's it.
And so, like, it's not that I anticipate, you know, getting a call and it's like, oh, your mom or your dad is possessed by a demon, time to come home. I don't anticipate that being a scenario I'm ever going to be in the position to deal with. But when I see that on screen, hell yeah, that's going to scare me. I'm going to say no, run away immediately, go the other direction.
Run!
What are you doing? Like, none of these courses of action would I be taking if I were in that position. And but it's really just about, like, if you're able to put yourself in their shoes and you can truly live vicariously while watching a movie, it's easy to get sucked into that and scared by what you would have to deal with if you were in that position. And that's how I interpret it.
I'm trying to picture that phone call. Oh, John, God, I hate to break it to you, but your father is possessed. You're going to have to come home. I'm sorry, who's this?
Bring your cross with you, right? Like, in your holy water.
Who's this? It's Father Tony. I'm sorry, Father Tony. You're breaking up. Wrong number. Yeah. Right? I am neither an old priest or a young priest. You're calling the wrong person. Bye.
God, my phone call would be like this. That's nonsense. Like, get them to a hospital. They need mental health care. Bam. Well, I'm sorry. This 6-year-old daughter is jamming a cross up her crotch. You know what? This is very concerning. Let's not look at the devil. Let's take her to psychiatric care. Can we do
also,
that?
Also, why does she have a cross? Take that away from her.
Yeah, she's been spinning her goddamn head around. Like, at some point, we need to realize this girl is not well.
But here's the thing. The other aspect of demonic possession is them doing things that, in like, for a regular human would kill them. And you're watching that play out and it doesn't kill that person because they're still have possession of the body. That alone is terrifying when you think about it. Like, you don't have to believe that that's real, but you can believe that, you know, Judy's head wasn't supposed to do that 20 yeah, minutes ago.
That's like, fair. Like, little Reagan's head. I mean, she would so need a chiropractor.
Yeah. Her head would pop off like a Barbie from a 4-year-old.
Mama had a baby and her head actually did pop off. It's very disheartening. That's funny. I'll be honest. If like Evil Dead, right? So girlfriend gets possessed and then, you know, you think at times that, oh, well, the demon's out, so she's acting normal again. You know, they've kind of playing that game demons like to play in these movies.
Right.
And let's say you actually leave there and the demon comes with you, like a fallen situation. I think all I would ever think about is, she gonna turn. Like, there's no way that's all the way out. So if I did believe in that, we would break up as soon as we got back home.
Immediately.
Yeah, have to.
Back? What do you mean back? You ain't coming with
me.
Well,
they're
in
the car.
Ride.
They're in the car with you. You got to take them home because you don't want to be the guy that leaves them at the Necronomicon house.
Since when?
You're right. Just leave
them
there.
I feel like, girl, you were possessed a few minutes ago. I ain't taking chances. Like, I'm sorry. I'll call you an Uber.
Look, I like you and everything, but you said some really crazy shit. I got to go. You're staying here.
You tried to eat my organs. Like, I'm going to have to say no.
That's funny.
Fallen is such a great example, though.
Fallen is a wonderful reinvention of the whole possession thing. That one was really fun. I thought that was really fun. Very clever. Do you find that it's more impactful for people that are religious, though, that seem to have that built-in belief because of, you know, their spiritual beliefs and whatnot? And I don't mean that in a negative way. I mean, people believe whatever they believe. I don't care what you believe. It doesn't affect me.
I really feel like the people who are that religious don't watch these types of movies. And the people that are willing to watch them are people who, even if they have some level of belief, it's not that incredibly strong. You know what I mean? Like they have the ability to deny the plausibility of it enough to the point where you could sit through that. Like, I don't think anybody who's like, hell yeah, Graham's got possessed last week is going to like go to the movies and be like, let's watch Exorcist together. Let's figure out how we can save Graham's. Like, that's not what they're going to be doing.
Yeah, I have taken a poll of my mother's side of the family. And keep in mind, she's not very religious, but her family is. And nobody would watch them.
Yeah.
Nobody. Nobody. And I know my wife's family is very religious. Nobody will watch them. So I think it feels very right in that respect that people that really believe heavily in this potential just would not want to watch those kinds of movies for whatever their reasons.
I think more often than not, the reason is that they're not looking to invite whatever it is home with them.
Yeah, and I understand that. Yeah, Amanda, I mean, that's what Amanda alluded to earlier. Makes sense, right?
No, and I've had those conversations with friends of Latin descent. I'm not going to watch that. Why not? Well, because if I watch that, it's going to come home with me, and that's not going to be good. You know that's not real, right? No, well, I'm not taking a chance.
See, I never say that because just because I don't believe in something doesn't mean that there's not a possibility of it. You know, unless you got some way to prove that it doesn't exist, which I don't have a way to prove it. You know, I just know that it hasn't happened, that I've seen it, but you know, we've all dated crazy, right? So you never know. Maybe
it was possessed. That's actually a really good point though. Like, you would think that, especially in the year 2023, that if people were out here getting possessed, there would be a TikTok of it. There would be a live stream on somebody's YouTube or Instagram.
Yeah, they would stop trying to help them and say, just film
it.
Right?
Yeah, immediately. And I got to be honest, I haven't heard about any possession since like the early 1900s. So either we did something right, the plague maybe did more than we thought, or it was never real to begin with.
Did you just say the 1900s?
Yeah, I don't feel like I've heard of any demonic possessions. Since the night, so like, I'm talking like 1930,
century. The 20th century.
Yeah, okay. I'm not talking about 1994.
I still felt it. It just like it was like somebody walked over my grave.
That's called the demon that's coming through your body right now.
Oh,
that's right.
Hi, when George.
You feel like that?
Cuddles.
Hairs on the back of your neck. Stand up.
My sleep paralysis demon are going to be going at it again tonight.
Somebody in your bathroom watching you bathe.
What are you doing with your sleep paralysis demon?
Mostly
you're not
holding
supposed to
hands.
Be doing that stuff.
You guys are making this weird. All right. Do you have any personal stories of people possessed or seemingly possessed? Have you ever seen anything like this or heard of anything like this?
I have never personally or seen anything like this. But I have heard stories, and I've heard stories because I'm from a Latin country, and that sort of thing runs rampant in Latin countries.
Superstitions, right?
You know, superstitions were a big thing. And I, you know, and as a kid, I was wildly superstitious. And as, you know, as time progressed, and as I stopped seeing the kind of weird stuff I used to see, I stopped believing in such a thing as possible anymore. So it's weird how time does that to us. I don't have any personal stories now.
I don't know. I got to say my experience makes me believe it more, more likely. Not my own personal experience, but I've dated, to John's point, enough Hispanic people and been friends with enough Hispanic people and heard their stories and their grandparents' stories. And, you know, like when you hear somebody tell you their story, it's hard to be like, damn, you real crazy, ain't you? Like, sometimes you have to be like, damn, they've seen some stuff. It's been real. And then you have to wonder, are the demons following them? Because if they got more than one story, you and I have some concerns to address with you. That's how I feel.
Okay.
Yeah, no, my stories all go back to normal ghost stories of things that I've experienced that way, but nothing with a demon in possession.
I think that there's a level before you get to like full on possession. Like, I do believe that if there is legitimacy to it, just like how they kind of try to tell you in The Conjuring, there are steps, there are stages.
Under the shirt, but over the bra, is that what we're talking about?
Yeah, it sounds like it. Some butt rubbing.
He's basically like, what he's trying to tell you in the movie is like, they start by slowly entering into your world and migrate themselves into breaking you down until you become, quote unquote, weak enough to be possessed by the demon because of the like somewhat level of insanity that it's brought you to. And so I do think that there is potential merit in all of those possibilities. And I also think that it's possible, like, if you tell me that you've seen that or you've experienced that, who am I to tell you that, no, you didn't experience that? I just have to be like, damn, I hope I never experienced that. Yeah.
Refresh my memory. That was Fred Warren in the movie that said that, right?
Said what?
That whole
thing. About the stages?
Yeah, the stages.
The husband?
Was it the husband or was it Fred?
It was Ed. It was Ed.
Yeah, Ed Warren. That's who it was. Yeah. I said Fred. Yeah.
Fred Warren.
I have my own problems with Ed Warren.
It's like, I'm a big Sanford and Son fan and also a Conjuring fan, and I just can't keep those straight.
I really can't.
Interesting. Yeah. Well, the Warrens are, that's not really a fair comparison because half people think that they're just making shit up and half people really believe in everything they were doing. So,
well, I mean, that's like that's what all of our society is. Half of our society believes that there's legitimacy and possibility to these things happening. And so it's easy to believe people like the Warrens, whether they had legitimacy or not. And then there's the other side of the society that's like, no, I'm not going to believe that. That seems ludicrous to me because logically thinking this, how do the physics of that work? And how does, you know, like I've never experienced a breakthrough in a barrier, you know, if it's supposed to be like different realms or something. Like if you don't buy into it, that's fine. There's going to be a lot of people who don't, but there are definitely a lot of people who do from a lot of times their own experience or their family's experiences.
I dated a girl long, long, long time ago, who believed very, very vividly in demonic possession and that she had been possibly possessed at one point. And it was, we didn't date long because it was I'm not the person to date in that circumstance. I can't have that conversation without basically just mocking everything about it. So this was when I was younger and less sensitive.
What's
Lord knows he hasn't gotten more.
Yeah, I haven't gotten more sensitive, but I didn't necessarily handle that as well as I should have. But I also thought this is more of a psychology issue than I think it is a demonic issue. And that's a lot of the stories that I heard. My mother worked in psychology for 30 years, and I did hear quite a lot of those kinds of stories where people thought that they were victims of demonic possession or being haunted or something. And then a lot of it was a psychological issue of different varieties. So there is some validity to the idea that people might believe it, but it might be something other than what you think. You know, you might have something going on that you need to get checked out. So when it comes to demonic possession,
this man just like psychology splained y'all. He's like, if you think that you're experiencing a demonic possession, I need you to know you have schizophrenia. Go get medication.
You might want medication.
It's like there's Jonah Hill and then there's Aaron.
Exactly. Exactly. Well, when it comes to demonic possession films, I mean, I don't really have that many other than Evil Dead that I'm a big fan of. Conjuring, I enjoy the first one a lot. I do want to mention The Entity because I feel like it's Barbara Hershey where she believes she's being possessed and this demon is essentially like violating her. And I don't know if it's necessarily counts as a possession movie because she's not necessarily inhibited, but she's being violated by the demon sexually. It's a really interesting story, and I've never seen it told like that, and it was just very odd. So if you've never seen it, very good movie, but very odd. Barbara Hershey is fantastic in the performance. If you've never seen it, I highly recommend checking out The Entity. Anything you guys can think of that you want to mention, a shout out, like check this out. This is worth the watch.
For me, on the top of that list has to be The Exorcist 3. I don't know why that one's my favorite one of all three of the movies. I think it has a lot to do with the fact that they take the Exorcist story and they add this serial killer aspect to it and they make it pretty interesting. And it's George C. Scott being George C. Scott. So I can't really miss out on that. And then Insidious, which is a series of movies now that has come out that has different forms of possession that happens throughout that movie. I really like what they're doing with that because it's just a very interesting way of handling possession and handling ghosts and all that. And it's a good, beautiful story so far. So those are the two that I can think of off the top of my head.
So I'm going to tell you one that I've talked about before. And I would say that it's somewhat demonically possessed.
Okay.
Maybe. Because it seems that way, at least for a while. And that's Gothica.
Mm.
That movie, there is something about it. I just freaking love that movie. And once you really know, like, what's going on, like, it is a dark film when you, like, start watching from beginning. Yeah, that movie just so good. Halle Berry. Basically, this psychiatrist that ends up waking up on the other side of the wall, the bars, mm-hmm. and she's trying to figure out what happened because she has no recollection of murdering this person, but apparently she did, and she was exposed to something that she's trying to work through right now. I don't know. I'm really bad at teetering around the
it's been out for a while.
I know. But I can't tell people I want you to watch this if you haven't seen it and That's then fair. Tell them all the spoiler
and
of
I'm
it.
Pretty sure it's on Max, so you can see it there, I believe. It's on Max.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
This is real quick just a story on possession, and that is Paranormal Activity.
Yep.
And I've told this story on the podcast before, but gosh darn it. The first time I watched that at like a midnight showing, packed full theater, I literally, and I'm not joking, could not even pee with the bathroom door shut. I was like unwilling to do it. The hall light's going to be on. I'm going to have the light on. And I was like, look, I'm going to leave the door open because if something happens, A, I want to know. And B, I don't want to be trapped in here. And if I do see the door move, at least then I know for certainty that I am not crazy and that there is something in here about to get me. And it's going to take me out like it took her out. Whew. That's it.
Wow. Those movies do like freak me out, but mostly because of the way that they execute the scares. Like, it's just very subtle.
100%. Yeah. And to be fair, I also thought that this was like a real experience. Like, I was young and I was naive and the internet wasn't what it is today. So
it still scares me. I've watched the first couple mm-hmm. a few times and they still get me.
The first couple are so great.
They are.
It jumps to shark when it gets really bad, but yeah, the first couple were great.
The one where they implemented the Xbox Kinect or whatever.
Oh, God. Like yeah.
That was a good one. It was so clever. It was really clever.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Really impressed with that one. All right. So, listener comments. We asked people like what was your favorite or why do you like possessed movies, that sort of thing. And we each have one that we wanted to discuss. And mine is from Comte de Interrompe. The mother of my best friend in high school thought that The Exorcist was the scariest film of all time and refused to let her children watch it. After hearing this, I sought the movie out and watched it. I get you. I feel where you're coming from. While I thought the movie was well done, I could not see the scariest movie of all time, or a scariest movie ever hype. After much thought, I realized that I wasn't scared because I had no fear of demonic possession, including my friend's mom did. And I agree with you 100%. And the reason why I bring that up when I've already kind of talked about it is, but my mother was never like that devout, but she grew up in a very religious household. So I think even though she didn't necessarily go to church regularly and that sort of thing, she believes in something else out there. And I, you know, she's very agnostic. I'm not saying she's religious or not, because I honestly don't know for sure. We've talked about it, but she's very hard read on this subject because she wants everybody else to come to their own conclusions. She doesn't want to influence yours. But I know she grew up in a very religious household. So I know that had to be in her head when she saw that movie. And I think that's a huge factor why it's terrified her so much.
So Sandra Grzynski, and I really hope I got that right, Sandra, but I feel very confident. Being brought up Catholic and hearing a nun talk about caring for a possessed woman, I was eager to see The Exorcist. It really terrified me. I had read the novel when it first came out, and that frightened me as well. None of the movies featuring demonic possession following the original movie bothered me at all. See, I love this comment because what we're hearing is basically the influence of our environment before we go see a movie and how that impacts how scared we get or how we're going to react to it. So if you go into it kind of like I did with Paranormal Activity and you're like, oh, this is real, it's going to make it that much more terrifying. And just like she was like, oh, I was caring for a possessed woman, this nun was, and it was terrible, and she tried to eat my face. And then Sandra goes to see the exorcist, and she's like, psh, this girl tried to eat her face.
Like I said earlier, I really believe most things that scare you are because you yourself believe this is possible in some aspect. You know? I totally believe every time I went to camp, I was going to get cut up by some freaking maniac with a hockey mask. Couldn't even walk around at night. I was freaked out.
That's awesome.
And that's a big part why I started backpacking. I wanted to confront those fears. So,
oh, look at you growing and developing.
Oh,
I mean, well, in some ways.
I guess it's possible, but not. All right. Mac Herring says, The Order is one of my favorite movies just because of the message behind some of the characters. For me, if you base anything in a possession movie on real Catholic rules, fear, or actual cases, it gets pretty terrifying. So I like this comment a lot because, as I've alluded to in the at the beginning of this conversation, I grew up pretty Catholic, and I grew up looking at things through that lens in a lot of ways, and it had that Latin feel to it because of the way I did grow up, because of from a Latin country, and I would say that yes, at one point in my life I did have whenever something followed those Catholic rules or those Catholic fears, it would really get to me. But it would get to me because I was really fascinated by the idea of the fight between good and evil, angels and demons, and all that other stuff. And not necessarily in the sense that it would kill me or hurt me, but more so like the actual fight that would get to me in some respects when I used to be more of a believer, that sort of thing. But I do think that the more you submerge yourself in a idea or ideology that would take you down these roads, the easier it is to see yourself in those positions, which that's the whole trick, isn't it? To be able to see yourself in that position and then let those feelings run you over.
Yeah, absolutely. Oh, thanks for that. You know what? Before we go, there's one more thing. Oh, two more things. One, check your podcast feeds next week. We're not going to tell you exactly what it's about just yet. But if you check after October 16th or 17th, somewhere around that line, there will be a new podcast called Inspired by a True Story in your podcast feeds with us, right? And it's going to be a mix of movies and true crime. And it's something that's not really being done out there. I think it's pretty new. I don't want to talk too much about it until it's actually out in the ether. So next week we'll have a trailer for sure. But if you're on our Patreon at patreon.com/TheHollywoodOutsider, all of the first three episodes will be out there by the time you hear this podcast or shortly thereafter. So one episode's already there for sure, and then the other two are going to be on there because if you're a Patreon subscriber, you're going to get it early every time. You're always going to get it a week early, hopefully a week, but definitely early. So Inspired by a True Story, find it, subscribe to it, put it in your podcast feeds. And before we head out of here, we're going to do very quickly, but we're going to do How Do You Survive? So that is where we come up with a scenario and you have to tell us how you're going to live. So the scenario is you come home to find someone you love is believed to be possessed by a demon. You can confront the demon head on. You can go full on Evil Dead, mutilate them. Or you can simply flee. Whatever you want, or a mix of the things. How do you survive this attack from the undead, John?
You know, I thought about this long and hard for about 5 seconds.
Yeah, there we go. That sounds right.
And, I would love to be able to say that I would walk into the room, see somebody possessed, and I would say, okay, I'm going to do the job of the young priest and old priest by myself, and I'm going to go ahead and do something about this. But in reality, this is going to be much like the knock at the door scenario where I'd be like, oh, Troy, are you possessed by a stab, 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 stab.
Fair enough. Amanda, how do you survive?
Mine is, I had to think even less about.
Oh.
So I get home or whatever, and I see someone that I love possessed by a demon. immediately. I'm not even taking a second glance. I am leaving. I am vacating the premises. I'm getting in my vehicle, putting it in reverse, and I am hitting that gas. I'm gone. Now, will I call a priest on my way out of town? Absolutely. I got you, boo-boo. I will help you out from afar. But let me tell you, there's no question. I'm gone.
Wow. Well, your devotion is inspiring.
I know.
Jesus.
That is not something I'm playing with. Look, here's the other part of it that we haven't talked about. You know what? The reality is, if you remove the demon from that body, it's going to another body. So better you than me.
Fair. So I love that, right? Amanda's whole solution is all you're going to hear is a door shut and wheels screeching because I'm out.
Yep.
Well, mine, it's fairly obvious. I'm calling a freaking psychiatrist. I don't believe you're possessed. I think you've got some issues that you need to address. And if you do start, you know, getting like full on Evil Dead and, you know, you start bleeding from the pores and all that, and you look like you're going to, I really need to start filming because I need this on record that you are coming at me like this because nobody's going to believe the possession angle. So I need a little bit more to, which is funny. Whole country's founded on under God we trust and all that jive. But boy, if you come out there with my possession angle, that's not going to fly. Well, yeah, my girlfriend was possessed. Sure she was. Sure.
I had to shoot her, officer. This is why.
Sure.
She was possessed. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I swear to God, you chained her in the cellar because she was possessed. I swear.
Yeah.
I swear.
When you put it like that, you just don't have a chance but to leave.
No.
Yeah. Definitely wasn't because she was trying to leave or anything like that.
Exactly. You got to get. Actually, I'm kind of leaning on Amanda's plan. I don't even want to call the psychiatrist anymore. Like, this is your problem. I got to go.
Look. And especially if they really believe and they're acting like they're possessed, by all means, I will call every number in the book. I got you. But the good thing is these cell towers connect from all over the country.
I don't know, though, man. If you think about it, like, okay, so you and your significant other, right, you're in this cabin alone and they get possessed. Isn't that kind of saying, you know, you're not weak enough, right? They're a little too weak.
I was the stronger candidate.
I'm obviously the one that was chosen to survive. Good luck.
You know, there's that. There's also,
you know, when you put it like that,
if the demon jumps in my body, the demon's going to be like, whoa, do you feel like this all the time? I'm like, yeah, I feel like this all the time. The
demon gets depressed and can't even do it. The demon goes ER and is like, I'm so sad.
I don't want a sad demon.
I just
demon.
Needed a friend.
What's the matter?
Demon leaves at his own volition, just says, yeah. I am done.
I'm not wanted here. Oh.
The demon's going to be like, your knees feel like this all the time? Yeah, my knees always feel like this.
My back feels like
What about your back? I mean, how can you even turn your back? Nope, I can't really turn my back too much. And my hip's garbage. And the demon's been like,
they're going to ask for a refund.
I can't do this. And I'm like, yeah, I know. It's terrible in here.
That's funny. All right, guys, we're done. Thank you for listening. I hope you enjoyed it. Remember to check out Inspired by a True Story next week or the 16th, 17th after. I don't know when you're listening to this. So it should be in your podcast feed soon. And remember, the next time you head to a theater or sit comfortably on your couch streaming your favorite demonic possession film, buy popcorn. Ooh. Nonsense. Just nonsense. Nonsense. But I would totally like put a chainsaw on my hand if I had the opportunity.
I'd rather have the hand.
Who wouldn't?
I'd rather have the hand. Fair point. Touche.